From the Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, we're talking Duke baseball. Welcome to This Week in Duke Baseball with head coach Chris Pollard. Tonight's show is brought to you by Coca-Cola. There's magic when we cheer together. Now, here's your host, the voice of Blue Devil Baseball, Chris Edwards.
Welcome to Tobacco Road Sports Cafe and the latest edition of the Duke Baseball Show. I'm Chris Edwards. Great to be with the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Thanks for spending part of your Monday with us. Coach, obviously a great week for the club. 4-0, the midweek win over William & Mary, then the sweep of Louisville this past weekend. As you go back and think about the week that was, what jumps out biggest to you?
Well, you know, I thought going back to Tuesday, we played a really complete game. Yeah. I thought it was our most complete game of the year. And then we just showed a lot of grit and fight and determination over the course of the weekend against a really talented Louisville team. What's been impressive to me is this team's ability to overcome some of the injuries. It's been a next man up type of mentality, and guys have just been really resilient to not, you know, sort of build in any excuses for why we can't play well. It's just been the next guy that goes out there, whether it's Cole Hebel or Tyler Albright, two guys that factored in this weekend and really stepped up for us. MJ Metz, you know, Andrew Yu getting the start in the midweek last week against William & Mary. So just have appreciated the way they've embraced that and, you know, and continued to compete and fight for each other.
Let's talk about staying in the fight. That's something we've talked about a lot during our time together over the last decade. And, man, this team really seemed to embrace that all weekend long. You get down in those games. You find a way late to come back and win. Just really nice to see those guys playing for each other.
Yeah, I mean, let's go all the way back to Friday night in the fourth inning. You're down 7-0, and you're arguably your best two hitters, your most productive offensive players – are out of the lineup, right? You know, Jay Beshears didn't start the game. Mm-hmm. Fisher leaves the game in the third with an injury, and you're down by 7 to a team that's a, you know, top 12 or so pitching staff in the country based on just about any metric that you can use. And their Friday night guy is rolling,
yeah,
right? So not only are we down, not only do we have some guys out with injuries, but their guy's really locked in. And to now be sitting and having this conversation after a sweep, you can't do that unless you're tough. You can't do that unless you're locked in. You can't do that unless you've got a tremendous will to win. And I think that was on display with these guys this weekend.
Let's go back to Friday night's game. And when you mentioned Hawks, who was throwing really well for them, maybe as good as anybody thrown against us all year. And then it starts with just an infield single by MJ Metz, and that kind of got things snowballing for your offense.
Yeah, I mean, I told our team after the game Friday night, you know, we'd go over the post-game notes, and you know, said I thought we did a really good job of just kind of waiting him out. You know, he really overmatched us through the first four innings, but you know, as we got to the third time through the lineup, you know, we were able to start to get some better swings off, and you know, kind of figure him out. You know, and sometimes you don't figure out guys the first time through the lineup, or even the first two times through the lineup. But if you can, you know, figure him out maybe by that third time, and particularly against a team like Louisville, who we knew coming into the weekend wanted to really ride their starters. You know, they want to get deep in games with their starting pitching. And so, you know, you're probably going to see that guy out there through three times through the lineup. And I thought our guys just did a good job of you know, as we saw him again, as we came back up to the plate, kind of figuring out how to make the adjustment on the fastball. It was a unique fastball because it's a low slot, but it's still got some ride and run to it. So it's a hard, you know, it's a harder pitch to match playing with. But we, in that fifth inning, what I told our guys, I said, you know, we figured him out, and then we didn't let him off the mat. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought that was really big. And you know, Danny made a great point talking about it in our Saturday morning meeting as a staff. He said, you know, the fact that we were able to get the flush there on Hawks, yep, in the fifth, and they brought Kuhner in, who's their closer and their best reliever in that spot. You know, if we don't get to him there, and maybe Kuhner doesn't get in the game till the sixth or even the seventh, well, then he doesn't run out of gas at the end of that game, and that's exactly what happened. You know, they brought him in the fifth, and you know, we were able to kind of grind the pitch count. We weren't really hitting him either,
no,
as you
yeah
know, really throwing the ball really well, But what we did do is we grinded out enough at-bats that by the time we got in the ninth, he was starting to run out of gas.
Well, let's talk about the ninth inning in just a second, but I want to go back to MJ Metz. It feels like MJ is really locked in right now. He had a home run in each of the last two games of that series. He seems like he's seen the baseball really well.
Yeah, and he had a home run on run on Tuesday.
That's right.
You know, so he's a guy that's really locked in. And, you know, we've talked about it on this show before. Anything you get out of MJ offensively, and you're getting a lot out of MJ offensively. You know, he's batting 324 with eight home runs. You know, and then you look at the numbers in ACC play. He's batting 321 in ACC play with four home runs. You know, all of that's a bonus because of what he does to change the dynamic of our team defensively. He's been so good at first base.
I was thinking about this a little bit, too. We've had some great grad transfers positionally that have come through this program. I think of like a Kyle Gallagher or Ryan Dietrich, and those guys got hot kind of toward the end of the year like MJ is doing. Is there some similarity there?
Yeah, I think they're, you know, I think good players make adjustments as the year goes on. And, you know, certainly this has been a different level. Really, any grad transfer you get into a place like Duke, unless they're transferring in from the ACC or the SEC, it's going to take some adjustment because of the quality of pitching. You're not going to have seen this quality of pitching consistently over the course of your career before. And so that is an adjustment, and I think, you know, MJ is another example of a guy who's worked hard to kind of make some adjustments over the course of this year to handle better pitching.
As hot as MJ is right now, maybe nobody hotter on the planet than Alex Mooney. Obviously,
for sure.
Had the big grand slam. He walked five times and hit a home run on Saturday, and then yesterday another multi-hit game. Alex just locked in. What else can you say about the guy?
Yeah, and I think what's so impressive is not only is he swinging the bat really, really well, but he's able to stay true to getting his pitch. You know, the example being Saturday when he hits a home run and walks five times.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I think that shows a lot about his growth and maturity to be able to stay really locked in. And when he does get his pitch, he's ready to get his best swing off. So he's not passive, but he's also not up there hitting in a big zone and getting himself out. And just it's another sign in his growth and development. And what a special player. And, you know, obviously the way he played defensively over the course of the weekend too. But talk about a guy now who's slugging 570. The on-base percentage is up over 450. You know, the numbers are actually just as good, almost even better in league. You got a 547 slug and a 480 on-base percentage. You know, he's putting together just a tremendous year.
Take me through the home run from your perspective on Friday night. Obviously, got his best swing off on that fastball.
Yeah, I mean, I got a great look at the swing, and then I kind of blacked out after that. It was like 30 seconds in there where I really don't remember what happened next. I remember Brady coming over and jumping on my shoulders, and I was kind of turning to look for somebody to hug, and I didn't know whether to celebrate or go run out on the field, and I knew we had to go handshake with Louisville. So it was a confusing 30 seconds. Scott Strickland actually sent me the video because I told him on Saturday morning, I said, I really don't remember much about the next 30 seconds and what I did. It seemed like I was in a fog. And so he literally sent me the video from center field so I could see how I reacted. But it was what an incredible moment and what really one of the neatest moments that I can remember being a part of on a baseball field. And, you know, down three, bottom of the ninth, grand slam to win it by one, that's kind of what every hitter dreams of. And as I said to you and I said to our team, there's nobody that deserves that moment more than Alex Mooney.
I don't know that we've given Alex Stone the credit that he deserves for what he's doing both at the plate and behind the plate because he's just been a warrior back there for your club.
Yeah, it's incredible, and you know, I mean, he's out there giving you everything he's got, and certainly on fumes a little bit because we've asked so much of him. But what's it's so impressive how he's competed, how he's been tough, how he's handled our pitching staff so well, and even as much as he's played and as tired as he is, you can't help but not be. The at-bats just keep getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought his at-bats yesterday, I mean, that's as loud of a one-for-40 as you're ever going to get. He had two missiles to left field that either one of them could have been doubles, and then he gets the huge game-winning hit there in the bottom of the eighth.
nice to see him get the game-winning hit there on Saturday, too, because it was a similar game. He had so many hard-hit balls at the 10-pitch at-bat in the first inning of Saturday's game, too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, here's a guy that probably had three extra base hits taken away from him this weekend with really good defensive plays, including a Sports Center quality top 10 highlight kind of play in right center field by King, their center fielder. But just stayed in the moment, and you know, he delivered big for us. Saturday takes a pitch to the backside through the open side of the infield, and then same thing, it was an off-speed pitch again yesterday, and it's a slider through the hole and scores two to give us the lead.
Let's talk about the bottom of the order for a second. You mentioned Hebel and Albright, but also Gio down there too. The bottom three in the order all weekend long really did great work for your offense.
Yeah, and Gio's been doing it all year. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a guy hitting almost 300 in ACC play and almost 300, 296 overall for the year, and continues to play just a lights-out defensive center field. But, you know, the job on top of that Hebel and Albright have done, stepping in. You know, Hebel steps in the injury. Albright, after kind of rotating some different options there in the nine hole, you know, it was his turn, and boy, did he make the most of it, and did just a great job of turning the lineup over for Alex Mooney.
When we talk about Hebel offensively, you mentioned it to me this weekend, gets the most out of his skill set. Mm-hmm. He is so good defensively, too, Coach.
It's incredible hands. I mean, the hands are it's like he's got glue in his glove. I mean, it's just everything sticks. And you know, that was a big, big play, the diving play that he made there in the eighth to get us off the field on Saturday. And, you know, he's a premium defender. We knew that when he committed to us last summer. You know, obviously he'd had a good year at the plate. He batted about 330 with 20 doubles. But one thing that jumped out to us when we made the decision to commit him, this is a guy that fielded 977 at shortstop on a natural surface last year, which is not a good natural surface. And you do that, man, you really got good hands. And so he's shown that throughout the course of the year, and now he's getting an opportunity to play every day and really making the most of it.
As we wrap up this first segment, I want to ask about, for you, it was a quick night, a short night from Saturday night to the first pitch on Sunday. How tough was that short night for you after the long game on Saturday night?
Well, I was up anyway. Yeah, Thomas had prom on Saturday night, and so he had an extended curfew, so I was going to be up late anyway. So I didn't get home till, you know, I don't remember what time it was. It was close to 1 o'clock, sat there and ate dinner, and then just waited for him to give us some sign of when he was going to get home. So it worked out well anyway. I was going to have a late night either way.
Let me ask you about this. We were talking about it before the show. Tyler Ross soliciting baby names for their next kid that Tyler and Kendra are having. Do you have a baby name for Tyler?
I mean, it's obvious, right? Christopher.
It's got
a great ring to it. You know, it rolls off the tongue. Christopher Ross. That sounds really good.
I think that's great. We can call him Chris or something. Yeah. But knowing Tyler, it'll be Christopher with a K.
That's right.
All right, we'll take a timeout and have more with Coach coming up after this from Tobacco Road Sports Cafe.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
Let me grab my car keys and we'll roll.
We still going to that new bar downtown?
Yeah, supposed to be fun. Lexi, give me driving directions from home to downtown bar district.
Autocorrect. Suggest Uber. Pick up home. Drop off downtown bar district.
No, I'm driving.
Suggest the Metro bus. Departing in 12 minutes.
Point taken, Lexi. We'll grab a ride.
If you drink, don't drive. Decide to ride. Brought to you in partnership by Anheuser-Busch, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Uber.
Everyone has an idea of their perfect engagement ring. You'll know it when you see it, but you have to see it. Allure Bridal from Reed's Jewelers. 8 stunning collections with over 300 styles. Yellow, rose, or white gold. Two-tone, stacks, pavé, solitaires, wraps, guards. Your perfect ring exists. All you have to do is come and see it. It's your style and your choice with Allure Bridal. Only at Reed's Jewelers and Reed's.com.
I feel happy, Valero Pay Plus app.
I feel happy, it makes savings a snap.
Use it and
start saving automatically.
You just save some money, not too shabby.
I feel happy, I'm in and out real fast.
I feel happy, now pit stops are a blast.
I love today and get in on the fun.
Valero Paperless app, your savings have begun.
Back at Tobacco Road Sports Cafe with the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard, on this Monday afternoon. Coach, I need to talk about the pitching staff and how good they were this past week. I think this weekend your bullpen covered 15 and two-third innings and only allowed 9 runs. It's pretty good work from those guys.
Yeah, I think Brady made a point this morning, and I didn't even realize this in a moment, but I think we used 11 different arms over the course of the weekend, and that's pretty special in an ACC weekend. You've got the confidence to go to 11 different guys over the course of a weekend. But, you know, give you some rundowns, Chris. We always talk about it. You know, we'll be 10% or better with a walk rate, 10% or less, 25% better with a strikeout rate, and 750 or better with the OPS. Had a 10.4% walk rate for the week, had a 29.9 or a 30% strikeout rate for the week, and had a 650 OPS. And so just another really impressive week for this team. And, you know, I thought there were just a lot of moments in the course of this weekend that were huge. Obviously, you have to talk about the job by Charlie Beilinson. Yep. Of coming in 3 different spots this weekend and giving us a zero. A couple of them were shutdown innings. He comes in yesterday with traffic on the bases and doesn't allow a run to cross the plate. So, you know, just a tremendous – he's a warrior, you know, just to take the ball and go out there and give us those big innings and big spots. I thought something that was really neat from a pitching perspective was just, you know, Fran O'Shell and James Talon have really dominated this year, right? They just have. It's incredible. But you're not going to always dominate. And so you knew the time was coming when it was going to be hard and they were going to have to really grind. And I was so proud of both of those guys for their performances on Saturday night. You know, Fran to be able to compete and get off the field. I mean, we don't make a play in his first inning of work and he unearned run scores and he's got the HBP and they're really working hard to try to put a lot of pressure on in a run game. And you know, he's just got to make pitches to get off the field. He wasn't able just to go out there and overpower like he's had so many opportunities to do. And that's just competing. That's, again, it goes back to we talked about that will to win. And then James, you know, I mean, James, for the first time in his career, his college career, has to take a big punch in the mouth in the top of the eighth. You know, they go walk and you know, I mean, you go back and you look at those pitches. Two of those pitches could have just as easily been called strikes and maybe change that at bat. But then you go walk, home run, and all of a sudden it's the ball game's tied, and you've still got 6 outs to cover. You've got 6 outs still to get. And the way he dominated those next 6 outs tells you a lot, not only about the quality of his stuff, but it also tells you what type of tough competitor he is, because you can't do that just off of stuff. You've got to be tough to go out there after that happens and stay in the moment and still get off the field right there and then go out and pitch a clean ninth. It was really impressive. I think it spoke to their growth, both of them, their growth as players, and it was fun to see.
With Talon in particular, he threw 40 pitches or around 40 pitches on Saturday night. Did he talk himself into getting the ball yesterday?
No, I mean, it's always a conversation. It's always a read. We go through pregame, and you know, he felt good. He felt really good going into yesterday. And the interesting thing was is he had better stuff yesterday. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that because of the results. You go back and look at the TrackMan data, his stuff was better yesterday than it was on Saturday. And, you know, that's a credit to the hard work that he's putting in. That's a credit to Dan Perlmutter and the job they're doing of getting these guys ready in the weight room, building their bodies. But it was, you know, it was great to see him be able to bounce back and have that kind of stuff. And, you know, it was cool because he wanted another shot at Benson and McCroy, you know. And we had a conversation in the dugout after he came off the field in the ninth on Friday night when it's tied. Mm-hmm. Saturday night when it's tied, and said, "Look, if we don't score here and we go back out in the top of the 10th, what are we going to do?" Mm-hmm. And Brady went to James and said, "How do you feel? You know, do you need to come out, or are you good to go back out there if this game goes extra innings?" And he wanted the ball, and he wanted another shot at Benson and McCoy. And you know, those guys were leading off the next inning. So it was cool just to see, man, this guy, he's not just out there throwing premium stuff. Like, this guy's a fighter, and he wants the baseball.
Two guys that we should talk about that had big outs for you yesterday was Jimmy Romano and Ed Hart. And the growth for those guys, Coach, to be big parts of your pitching staff.
No, both those guys were huge cogs in the wheel yesterday. I mean, Jimmy comes in with two guys on, you know, in a 2-1 ball game right there. And all of a sudden, if you get a double in a gap, that game might be out of reach, and to get us off the field right there. And the thing was, you know, he comes in against King, who has a reputation for being really good at handling a fastball. And so the first two pitches out of the hand were breaking balls, and they weren't strikes. So now you're 2-0, and you got to challenge him at that point. You can't move those two runs both into scoring position at second and third. And so you got a challenge right there, and you got to trust your – as the expression goes, trust your stuff. You know, and he was 93 on the outer third and got a pop-up to MJ to get off the field right there. It was – you know, that was a big moment and a big pitch. And then, you know, obviously we make the mistake there. And, you know, he gives up the hit and start the top of the eighth. We make the mistake on coverage there in the eighth. And all of a sudden that run scores, which really wasn't on him, but gets us another out. And then we're left, right? And it's a good matchup for Ed Hart. And Ed Hart comes in and gets both his left-handers, and what a way to pick up your first win. Yeah. You know, that's his first career win in a Duke uniform, and, man, that was in a big spot.
We talk about all these pitching guys and the guys that have been big for your bullpen. Everything metrically for your club stat-wise is top five, top ten in the ACC. That just speaks to Brady and the buy-in these guys have, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can't tell you enough about the, you know, positives about the job that Brady's done with his staff. Buy-in is a huge part of it. The culture that he's created around challenging the strike zone is part of it. His ability to understand what guys do well and then therefore use them in spots that put them in a position to be successful is such a huge part of it. And to do all of it with a bunch of freshmen and sophomores. You know, I mean, the bulk of these innings, as you look up and down this stat sheet, is, you know, guys that are either freshmen in their first year at this level or sophomores. And outside of Jonathan Santucci, sophomores that were in relatively low leverage situations last year. I mean, we weren't asking Ryan Higgins to go out and get these kind of outs last year. We weren't asking Fran O'Shell to go out and get these kind of outs last year. We weren't asking Jimmy Romano to go out and do this last year. And now you look at where they are and the type of competitive culture that's been built around guys going out and taking the ball and doing their job. It's pretty special.
Let's turn our focus toward this week now. Before we do, came out earlier today, the club ranked in the top 20 in pretty much every major poll. Great accolades for this team and all they've accomplished. But how do you keep this team grounded and focused on next game, next opponent?
Yeah, you don't eat the rat poison. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it last week. We were really intentional even after Boston College. You know, I told our team in the locker room in our pregame meeting versus William and Mary, I said Nick Saban calls it rat poison. Don't fall victim to having people pat you on the back. Don't fall victim to all of a sudden all the distractions that come out this time of year. And there's a bazillion of them that happen this time of year. You know, there's the distraction of exams and academics that pull you in a lot of different directions. They're the distractions of summer baseball. There's the distractions of the draft. There's the distractions of you know, top 25 polls. There's the distraction of people talking about the postseason. All that stuff's rat poison. Don't eat it. And the way you can avoid that, and the thing that this team's been so successful at, is you create a bond where there's so much energy around just feeding into each other and focusing on your teammates. And what we talk about is just be too busy focusing on each other and providing energy for each other to worry about any of that other stuff.
Let's turn our focus to the games this week. A five-game week, two challenging midweek opponents on the road at Campbell tomorrow. Then you've got High Point at Coombs on Wednesday. And then we go to UVA this coming weekend. Can you talk about the week to come for the club?
Yeah, man, it doesn't get any easier, right? You got a Campbell team that's top eight in the country. I don't think they've lost since they played us, right?
Nope.
I mean, they haven't lost a ball game, I don't think, since they played us. And, you know, they're rolling and hitting on all cylinders, and you got to go down there and play them in their ballpark. And that's a unique challenge. Just looking at the numbers, they're 16-2 at home this year. And it's a prolific offense, and they put pressure on you in a lot of different ways. And then you've got to play a High Point team. You got to turn around, get back here, play a High Point team on Wednesday that could be really offensive. You know, they've got three guys with double digit home runs, and so there's a challenge there. You got to get back here and turn around and right back out on the field really quickly against a quality club. And then same thing with UVA. You're going to a place this weekend where a team's played exceptionally well at home. They're 23-2 in their ballpark, and they're having a terrific year. And it's going to be a challenging week. But, I mean, you and I have sat there and said this for the last couple of weeks. You know, you had to go on the road and play a top 12 team in Boston College two weekends ago. You had to turn around and play a really good William and Mary team and another top 12 team in Louisville this weekend. So we it's not like we haven't already been tested in terms of having a challenging schedule. So, you know, I think as I looked at it most recently, our current strength of schedule is like top 15 in the country right now. You know, this team is battle tested. You know, they've gone on the road and played in some tough environments and handled themselves really well in those environments. They've played really good opponents, ranked opponents. And so, you know, we'll go out there and compete like crazy. But there's no question, yeah, we got our hands full.
This is the final week before the exam break for your club. And obviously baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. But is this an opportunity for your club to just empty the tank?
Well, you have to, you know. And listen, we got guys that are running on fumes a little bit. You wouldn't be human if you weren't. We've stretched these guys, especially with our lack of depth due to some injuries. But you just go out there and you empty the tank this week, and it's all gas. It's no breaks. And you get to Sunday, and you get back here, and you hope that you can take some time in between studying to really kind of recover and build your body back up over the course of the week so you're ready. You know, we always say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, but then you get into that period of time after the exams end, and it does kind of feel like a sprint. And even more so maybe this year than some other years, because normally you've got three ACC weekends on the backside of exams. This year you only have two. So it'll go fast when you get out of exams. But I think we'll use, as we've always tried to do, we'll use the exam week effectively in terms of recovery and kind of letting everybody get fresh so you can make that sprint. But first things first, you know, we got to go out this week and do a great job being in the moment. We'll need to be intentional, Chris. And these are conversations we've already had with our staff. We'll need to be intentional this week about going into our depth. You know, we're going to have to, because, one, we've stretched a lot of guys over the last week or two. And you go with the five-game week, you're going to have some guys step up that, you know, maybe don't have the same number of outings or innings or at-bats as some other guys on the staff or in the lineup. But they're talented guys, and I'm looking forward to them embracing those moments and stepping up big for us.
As we start to get out of here, I want to ask about a few of our pro ball guys doing some big things. Marcus Stroman had his 1,000th career strikeout yesterday. Lo Perfido called up to Double-A. He's already got three Double-A home runs. I looked at it this morning. Seven guys are at Double-A, Triple-A, or big league level that played at Duke, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, you think back to that. First off, congratulations to Marcus.
Yeah.
Awesome. 1,000 strikeouts in the big leagues and off to such a great start this year. One of the lowest ERAs of any everyday starter, five-day starter in the big leagues right now. But you're right. You look at all those guys in Mervis and Heron and Conine hit a home run over the weekend. And, you know, and you got Bryce Jarvis who's pitching exceptionally well in Double-A. And then Joey just got called up to Double-A. It makes it easy to understand why that 18, 19, and 20 group, those 2018 teams, 19 and 20 teams, man, they won a lot of games. And 21, too, it's easy to see why. You know, that team had some dudes, you know, and it's fun to see those guys go out and do the things they're doing right now in professional baseball.
So many other guys we could talk about. Marcus Johnson's allowed, I think, one earned run in three starts.
He's throwing great.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, and several of those guys, you see, when I say those guys, I mean the guys that were drafted last year, you know, they're in the Sally League. So, you know, we've already, as a family, talked about making plans to try to go see those guys. I mean, Marcus is in Charleston, and Billy's in Kannapolis. And so those guys are right here in our backyard, so it'll be cool to get a chance to watch some of those guys in action over the course of the summer.
All right, Coach, let's go have a good week, and we'll holler at you next Monday.
That sounds great.
That's the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Thanks for joining us from Tobacco Road Sports Cafe for the Duke Baseball Show.
You've been listening to This Week in Duke Baseball with Blue Devils head coach Chris Pollard. Tonight's show was brought to you by Coca-Cola. There's magic when we cheer together. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Blue Devils Sports Network.